and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
So how's everyone doing on a Wednesday? I guess there'll be some rain in the area today, but then looks like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It looks like summer's here. Temperatures in the 80s. In fact, Monday, 90s. Mm. So here you go. Finally.
Sun has got his hat on. Hip, 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 hooray.
Long wait is over. And how you doing, Michael Riedel? Good?
I'm fine, Lynn. How are you?
You excited by the summit? Do you think this is like a big breakthrough and we're all going to live happily ever after?
I think it is indeed a breakthrough, and now we have to get to the nuts and bolts and the nitty-gritty of the negotiations so that in the end, the Korean Peninsula will be denuclearized.
Doesn't bother you that the president said Kim loves his people and his people love him?
Well, it's not a wise negotiating tactic to sit down with your adversary and say, you do terrible things to your people. Your people must hate you. You're a horrible dictator. That's not going to get you anywhere.
Now, he claims, Donald Trump claimed yesterday in the news conference that he did bring up human rights to Kim. I wonder what form that took. I happen to agree the big problem is nukes. You're not going to solve every single problem with one country. And it's not our, are we supposed to foist democracy on every country in the world?
No, well, we tried that in Iraq and look what it got us.
I understand where, problem number one is nukes. That's what you talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what Trump said about human rights. He may have said something like, boy, you're really lucky there in North Korea. You don't have that human rights issue that we have in the West.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
A couple of minutes, we're going to go to Canarsie. Just that terrible story. A mother, two cars were apparently speeding. I don't know if they were in a drag race or not, but a woman was killed. A child is in critical condition.
Six-year-old child.
Yeah, and the son, the woman's name who was killed, Shayna Sinclair, six-year-old son, Javon, and he's not doing too well, but apparently one of the cars hopped a curb and slammed into the bus stop. They stayed at the scene.
Mm-hmm. The drivers.
Two drivers, and so far no charges, but the investigation's continuing.
People in the neighborhood say that there's a lot of speeding in this area. Like, they use it as a drag race.
Well, we have Alice Stockton Rossini on the scene, and we'll be going to her in just a couple of minutes. But just another terrible tragedy. And, of course, recalls Park Slope.
Yes.
Where your friend Ruthie Ann Miles.
Yes, the
hit.
Broadway singer.
And she survived, but lost a child and a child that she was carrying.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and there was another mother with her who lost her child as well. So
also in the big three, obviously, number one in the big three is the president's now back home. He touched down several hours ago after a 24-hour trip from Singapore. Reaction is pouring in. To the Singapore summit, was it a big step forward or was it a big nothing burger? I guess it depends on what side of the aisle you're on.
As it does everything, Schumer's out there already casting aspersions on the talk. Should Nicholas Kristof, that commie from the New York Times, blowharding in the paper the other day about how Trump gave up everything and got nothing in return. A terrible deal, please.
Well, here's your favorite Senator Chuck Schumer.
While we're relieved that they're no longer calling each other names, we are worried that these kinds of things, which are needed for America's safety, are not happening.
All right.
Chuck Schumer, a hawk all of a sudden. He was a peacenik. Now he's a hawk.
Also, stop picking on Democrats.
Sounds like John Bolton all of a sudden.
Also in the big three. Oh, we're going to take some phone calls on this in the next segment. We'll love to hear what you have to say about this. Whose side are you on? The Uber driver who kicked out the kissing lesbians. He got his taxi and limousine commission license suspended.
Interestingly enough, I just heard from the deputy commissioner over at the TLC who did confirm that you do need a TLC license to be an Uber driver, but that they fully regulate all Uber drivers and vehicles, and they're the only city in the United States to do that.
Wow.
Yep.
So in some other cities, perhaps, you just need a driver's license?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the requirements for an Uber driver is that you're driving for like 3 years or something like that.
Yeah, but we want to
just driving a car for 3 years.
Exactly.
But we want to take your calls on the lesbians at 1-800-ROBIN-BIRD.
Well, this fellow for religious beliefs. He does sound like he could very well be Muslim.
Yep.
And
could be like the cake maker.
His name's Ahmed. So what do you think? So we'll take your calls later. Also, rounding out the big three, hey, there's no quitting this hound dog, Rudy Giuliani. Accused at the age of 74 of cheating on his wife. He denies it, said they were already in a separation, but Judy Nathan, who obviously cheated with Giuliani when he was married to Donna Hanover.
And Natalie says Judy should have been forewarned. Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Judy and Rudy show. Well, that's gone. Rudy Kazudi. Anyway, Rudy's still... And what's wrong with this woman in New Hampshire? Really? That's the best you could do is Rudy? Come on, lady. Go on eHarmony or something. You could do better. Coming up at 8:30, we have the Turning Point Contest. We'll be giving out some Mets tickets. And at 9:40, you don't want to miss this, we have comic legend David Steinberg. I've been a fan of his forever. Not only a brilliant comic in his day, had a great TV series with comedy.
Inside Comedy.
Talk to every comedian that exists.
Great interviews with all of the legendary comedians.
And now director on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes, he's very close to Larry David.
So what a career David Steinberg has had. All right, let's head to Canarsie. Alice Stockton Rosini, this was at the intersection of Remsen Avenue and Seaview Avenue in Canarsie. It happened yesterday evening. Two cars, witnesses said, were speeding down the street, and then tragically, Shayna Sinclair lost her life, as well as her 6-year-old son, Javon. Alice Stockton Rossini on the scene. Good morning, Alice.
How you doing? And Michael Thomas is a community advocate, and he lives just a few houses from the bus stop. He heard the crash, and he ran to the scene to find Shayna and her son pinned against the fence. He says everybody knew this woman.
Yes, everybody knows. She lives right across the street. She comes to visit her mother, and she brings her, 6-year-old son to visit her mother all the time. And if you would have heard the impact, the way it sounded, you knew something bad had happened, from the impact. And it's sad, because this could have been prevented.
Hey, Alice, we've heard from eyewitnesses that they're speeding a lot. Is this a very wide, is there an area of road that once the light turns, the cars take off? Set the scene for us.
Well, it is. It's two very, Remsen is very wide. It's two lanes on either side, but it's a very wide roadway. And yes, they are well-known speedways. People come speeding down Seaview. It's not as wide as Remsen, but it's a pretty wide road. He says everybody goes too fast. The 69th precinct writes 9 to 10 tickets every single day, but he says he can't, they can't be here around the clock. Accidents, hit and runs are not uncommon in this area. He said the last incident was just a few months ago.
It's a tragedy, but I've been on this block for 20 years. We've been advocating for the longest for speed cameras. This is not the first accident we had on this block. This is not the first tragedy we had on this block. I don't know what the hell the Department of Transportation is waiting for. We've been advocating to do it. They got speed cameras on Glenwood. We got speed cameras on Farragut because they have a school there. And I can understand the dynamics. We have to protect our children. But also, we got to protect the people that live on this block. These little kids cannot even ride their bikes no more. The parents on this block, we stop our kids from playing out here because we know sooner or later a tragedy like this is going to happen.
Hey, Alice. Sorry?
Yeah.
Alice, they talk about speed cameras, but what about speed bumps? I think speed bumps would be more effective than speed cameras.
That's really funny because this guy's a regular at the 69th Precinct Community Council meetings, and I was talking to Guardi Brazella. He's the president, and that's what he's been advocating for years. What's disturbing is why they think nothing's ever been done.
Hmm.
Well, we reached out to the Department of Transportation like 3 or 4 years ago. And it's an ongoing process because it's just sad that it seems like nobody cares. But I if this was Sunset Park, if this was Bergen Beach, if this was in a different area of people of different color, then they would do something about it. I truly believe they're doing this because mainly it's people of color on this block, and they don't give a damn because, we're people of color. And that's just my personal belief. That's what I believe.
Well, let's just say when they had the Park Slope accident, what we were talking about, where you had... kids
rich,
killed.
Upscale people.
Yeah. De Blasio went down there and gave a news conference.
Yeah, where is De Blasio?
Right. Yeah, where I don't know. I haven't seen his schedule yet today. He might be working out. I don't know. But, Eric Adams is the representative here. And, I don't know if that's true, but it's disturbing that they feel that way. Whether it's true or not remains to be seen.
Alice, what do we know about the drivers of the car? Was it a drag race or what was going on? Do we know anything about them? And will there be any charges? Do you think?
I don't see how there couldn't be charges. They were both going at excessive speeds. One guy was speeding down Remsen. The other guy was coming down Seaview. He was making a left on Remsen. And from what eyewitnesses are telling us, the guy speeding down Remsen just ran the red light.
Ah, so that was it. Okay, so I didn't know they were coming from opposite directions. There you go.
Oh, so they weren't drag racing.
Yeah.
They weren't drag racing.
Yeah.
So
No, they weren't drag racing, but that's common around here, especially on the weekends. But we've heard that before over the years, too. There's certain areas of the city where the roads are just perfect for teenagers and speed freaks to get out there. So this may be one of those, but that was not the case. One was coming, you know, down Remsen. The other one was coming in the opposite.
So someone ran the light. There was excessive speed maybe on both, and they stayed on the scene, but no arrests yet.
Mm. And we just
not as far as I know.
And we just got word, Alice, that the mayor has no public appearances scheduled today.
Oh, my goodness. There must be something going on.
Yeah. All right. Alice Stockton Rossini from Canarsie. Thanks, Alice. Appreciate it.
Sad story, guys.
Terrible story.
Well, I hate when you hear the point he made. You know, if this happened in another neighborhood, maybe they would do things. But he says they've been after the city council for a long time. And your idea of speed bumps was obviously embraced by someone else in the neighborhood. So that's a great idea.
I think speed bumps are far more effective than speed cameras. I mean, what's a camera going to do? A camera's going to catch it after the accident.
Sure
and no one's speeding around is going to be thinking, there might be a camera up there. I should slow down. You see a speed bump heading at your face, you're going to slow down.
I just wonder what the Department of Transportation thinks of speed bumps when it comes to snow removal and stuff like that. And there must be streets all over the city. I wonder if you went around putting speed. I wonder what the protocol is for how you put in speed bumps in certain neighborhoods, because you do see them pop up from time to time, but they're not really all that common in the city.
No, they aren't. They could impede the flow of traffic, I suppose. Could be a problem.
Yeah. When we get back, we're going to take your phone calls. Whose side are you on, the lesbian kissers or the Uber driver who booted them out of his car? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 800-321-0710. And don't forget, Mark Simone is coming up at 10 o'clock.
If you missed out on the Mother's Day sale from Chamonix, then today is your lucky day. Right now, when you order Genucel, you will get the new Genucel eyelid lift for droopy, saggy eyelids absolutely free. And for the first time ever, you'll also get the world-famous Cristal's microdermabrasion, and that's also free. Here's what Claire from Raleigh, North Carolina, has to say. I've been using Genucel for 3 days. My husband already noticed the texture of my skin. It's looking so good. It feels nice and smooth with lots of moisture. The bags under my eyes are minimal now. So far, so good. Call 1-800-577-8627 or visit Genucel.com. Experience the power of looking and feeling your best every morning. And help Chamonix's commitment to battered women shelters across America. So order Genucel today and say goodbye to the bags and the puffiness tomorrow. Call 1-800-577-8627 or visit Genucel.com.
And let's check out traffic now. Here's Bernie Viter.
Good morning, everybody. At 8:25, 5 minutes, we will have the turning point from last night's game, giving away some Mets tickets, so you want to hang around for that. But we're throwing the phones open now, 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710. Len is obsessed with this story about the kissing lesbian couple that was booted out of the Uber. Yeah. He's just really excited about this.
It's all me.
Thing.
Well, these two women were in there, and apparently they kissed, and the driver, Ahmed El Batari, took offense, and here's what happened.
Is there an issue? What's the issue?
I judge you first time, but don't do it.
Is it illegal for an Uber?
It is illegal. You don't do that.
Kissing is not illegal.
Yeah, it is illegal.
No, it's not.
You don't do that here in the car.
Are you anyone can kiss in an Uber. You're sick.
You're allowed to do this.
We're filming you. Sir, why are we not allowed to kiss in an Uber? Yeah.
Well, this guy's had his taxi and limousine commission license suspended. Yeah. But listen to what he told the Daily News. He said they were acting crudely even before the kiss. He claimed that one woman forced the other to smell her armpit.
What?
They played loud videos on their phones, and one put her feet on the seat. He said, I don't give a blank about them. I did what I believe is freedom. I would have done the same thing for a straight couple, although he did admit he has less tolerance for same-sex couples.
Well, wait a minute. This story is getting a little more complicated. If those girls were behaving piggishly in the back, we want to know what you think. 1-800-321-0710. Let's go to line four with John in Flushing. Good morning, John.
Hey, John.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I do like Michael. He's a great addition, but Natalie is definitely my favorite. She's the voice of reason over there.
Natalie's the favorite. Natalie, what's going on here?
Nice. Thank you so much, John.
You got it. Thank you. But I would like to say that I believe this is clearly a setup who kisses their girlfriend and has their phone ready to tape record, to video the Uber driver? And his words were very telling because he's saying it made me sick. And they're baiting him into saying something derogatory or something like that. I don't like it. It doesn't smell.
Oh, so you're siding with the Uber driver.
Yes, I am.
All right, there's one vote. Thanks, John.
Okay.
And John has excellent taste if he thinks that Natalie is the voice of reason.
So yes.
Let's try Don here in New York City. Don, you're up next. Good morning to you.
Yes, yes. Hello, guys. How you doing?
Good morning, Don.
Listen, I feel sorry for these two poor girls.
Why?
Why?
Well, because they should be encouraged to show affection for each other. I wish I was there to soothe them.
You wish you were there to see them, or what?
If I was the Uber driver, I'd have to pull over because I wouldn't want to get into an accident looking at the rearview mirror.
Don clearly likes to watch lesbians at play.
Okay, Don, there you are. Have you seen them, by the way? Take a look at them in the post. They are cute. Don?
Don?
What's
thanks,
that?
Don.
I'm sorry?
No, Michael is advising you to check out their picture in the post.
I posted in the Daily News for this one.
Oh, and Natalie is chastising me. Don't look at the post. Look at our website.
Yeah.
Go to 710WOR.com/Michael.
I looked at that, but that didn't show good pictures of the girls.
Okay, Don, go back to Pornhub. Nice to talk to you. Thanks a lot. Well, see you later, Don.
I'll try to get better pictures of them for him, too. I don't know which pictures he wants, but I can only put up so much.
Who's up next, Natalie?
Robert. New Jersey.
New Jersey Robert. You're up, kid.
Good morning. Good morning, Robert.
Natalie. Hey, how are you, Len and Natalie and Michael? I love your show. I listen to you guys every day, and I really look forward to the insightful and witty things you say every day.
You're talking about the things I say, right, Robert?
Yeah, of course, of course.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you. I'm a limousine driver. I've been driving for a company for four years. I love this job. It's the best job I've ever had. And I've had passengers in the back seat making out, getting undressed, and changing from casual clothes into business clothes for meetings. So I've seen it all.
I've seen that show, Taxi Cab Confessions. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. I want your job.
You know what? Right. And as long as I don't feel like I'm in danger, as long as my life is not threatened, it's okay. I feel like anybody can do whatever they want in the back of my car because as a customer, the customer's always right. But I will tell you, if I did see two women making that, it kind of would have been a turn on for me.
Another one. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
So seriously, is there this Uber driver, you don't think he did the right thing?
I believe that his culture mandates that, you know, women should not have the same rights as men.
Yeah.
And women kissing women is definitely off limits in that culture, I believe. I believe anybody can kiss anybody as long as you want to do that and as long as it's consensual. I think everybody has the right to do that. And I think as long as my life is not threatened, have fun. Do whatever you want in the back of my car.
Drive safely, Robert. Go get him.
Robert,
let me watch, too.
He wants to eat. Turn on.
Robert's got an X-rated Uber. There you are.
Be careful. He's your driver.
Hey, it is time for the Mets Chock-Full of Nuts Turning Point of the Game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point of the game from last night, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Dodgers on June 24th at Citi Field. Give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710. The Turning Point is presented by Chock-Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. And now let's get the 8:30 news with Mike Bauer.
Morning, guys. President Trump says sleep well tonight. He's tweeting that there's no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea after his summit with Kim Jong-un. But Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is skeptical.
President Trump seems to have given away two or three of the major things that Kim Jong-un wanted. A meeting, the flags next to each other, now no a delay of exercises with South Korea without getting anything in return.
Ooh, a meeting.
Danger
the
to America is ever present.
Oh, God.
Help the me. Danger.
Oh, my God.
Some Republicans also concerned that Kim Jong-un will not live up to the agreement to denuclearize.
Oh, really? That's a shock. What a surprise.
Give
there.
Him a chance, Len.
Well, he's not going to check. Come on. It's been 24 hours. Let's go. Let's see some action.
Big sports news for the U.S. It's been selected along with Mexico and Canada to host the 2026 World Cup. Carlos Cordero is the president of U.S. Soccer and had this to say.
On behalf of our united bid, Canada, Mexico, and my country, the United States, Thank you so, so very much for this incredible honor. Thank you for entrusting us with this privilege, the privilege of hosting the FIFA World Cup.
Most games will be played in the U.S. with the World Cup final held at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands.
Ah, very good.
That's and exciting. Have you guys seen this video today? It's the best.
Which one?
Video of former Mets manager Terry Collins going viral this morning. Back in May 2016, Noah Syndergaard was thrown out of a game against the Dodgers for throwing behind Chase Utley. You might remember.
Yeah, I do remember.
The previous postseason, Utley injured Ruben Tejada with a hard slide into second.
That's correct.
Syndergaard was ejected. Collins came out to argue, which was picked up on a microphone worn by crew chief Tom Halen. So let's listen in on what that sounded like.
Oh, this just came out?
As many of the bleeps as we could have put in there.
Okay. Talk to me!
Tommy, that's f***ing bullshit!
Talk to me! Then you talk to me about that.
I know, but you look! Okay. You gotta give us a shot!
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot,
okay,
Tom.
Listen to me. Let me hear what I'm saying, okay? You get your shot. You had your shot right there in the situation.
Well, why not?
You know the situation, Terry.
Why don't you get a shot, Tommy?
Because that makes it... Terry, that makes it worse.
I know it.
And they say baseball is a dull, long sport. Are you kidding me? That's good stuff.
Then we need more microphones.
We need more microphones, more lesbians. That's the bottom line.
I watch that sport over and over again.
What, lesbians with microphones?
Yes, yeah. I would watch that sport over and over again. You were asking earlier. Unclear why this video became public in the past 12 hours or so. It's only getting noticed now 2 years later, but I'm thankful that we have the internet to
Terry
spread this
Collins,
around.
Terry Collins, I'll tell you that, you know, Tommy Lasorda was always well known as the expletive king. I mean, there were legendary tapes of him cursing, and Earl Weaver of Baltimore.
Earl, that's the one I remember, yeah.
But Lasorda was really the king, but Terry Collins, well done, Terry.
Excellent. Hey, tomorrow's the day to place your bets at Monmouth Park. When we come back, we'll talk to Vice President of Marketing at William Hill, Michael Grodzki. That's all coming up, but now let's go to Bernie Viter and traffic.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Tomorrow morning's the day at Monmouth Park. Sports betting starts in New Jersey. We'll tell you everything you need to know about the Garden State sports betting law. And we return in just a moment. But first, we're not going anywhere, but we're going to tell you who the Turning Point winner is.
Doug Montone from Oradell, New Jersey. He was the first caller to correctly identify that the turning point of last night's game was this.
1-1 to Albies. Infield overshifted. The pitch. Swing and a drive in the air to deep right field. Bruce going back. It's going to go. Grand slam, Ozzie Albies.
You bet. Grand slam homer, and that was the turning point as the Mets lost to Atlanta 8-2. They try again this afternoon. Coverage here on WOR from Atlanta begins at 11:05.
And listen to the Mets post-game show, because we'll have a turning point for you tomorrow. The Chock Full of Nuts turning point of the game at 8:30 tomorrow morning.
So if you want to bet on sports, on soccer in 2026, you'll be able to watch the games and bet, because the finals actually going to be played in New Jersey as well, because the bid of the United States, Canada, and Mexico has won the 2026 World Cup. So that was announced this morning. Oh, and we got this exclusive quote from Carlos Cordero. He's the president of U.S. Soccer. When he found out that the United States, Canada, Mexico got the bid, here's what he had to say.
Goal!
He had more to say.
Goal!
There you go. Another WOR exclusive.
Boy, let's see if we can get an interview with him. So what do you think about the bid?
Let's talk sports gambling, because Monmouth Park, the governor, we're told, will make the first bet at 10:30 tomorrow morning. We have on the line Michael Grodzki, Vice President of Marketing at William Hill, U.S. They're the ones running the show for the gambling at Monmouth. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on.
So what happens? 10:30 tomorrow morning, it's wheels up?
Absolutely, that's accurate. So Governor Murphy will place the first wager at 10:30, and right after that, anyone else who'd like to make the first wager is more to welcome. The second wager is more to welcome, too. We're excited to have everyone come out and to get this thing rolling.
Where else can you go besides Monmouth Park? What other sites are you going to be operating, Michael?
So to start, we'll be at Monmouth Park starting tomorrow. There'll additionally be a William Hill Sportsbook down at the Ocean Resort in Atlantic City. That will open on June 28th.
But you're expecting that there'll be other racetracks that'll chime in, and it's supposed that all 8 Atlantic City casinos at some point will have sports gambling. Is that not the case?
Yes, I that is the case, and so I'm not sure of the details on when they're individually planning to open up or how their rollouts are. I just can speak to the 2 William Hill sports books and what we've been planning for them.
Now, will sports gambling also be allowed online?
Yeah, in the bill itself, it does say that online wagering is permitted. So it looks like that the language in the law says there will be some period from when the first retail sports betting is allowed until a later date when the Department of Gaming Enforcement in the Division of Gaming Enforcement in New Jersey will give the thumbs up for online wagering as well. So we haven't got the official date of when we can go live with that quite yet.
Hey, Michael, does your company have any estimates of just how much money can be brought in with the legalized gambling now?
We don't know. We know there's a huge black market in New Jersey, and we know there's been a lot of interest. Out in Nevada, that market is just under $5 billion in wagers placed a year in Nevada. We take a guess that New Jersey could be a slightly bigger market or a bigger market than that, but there's really just no way for us to know at this moment. So we just know there's a lot of excitement around it, and we're excited to start offering it to any customers that want to come and give it a shot.
Michael, maybe you can clear things up for me, because I've heard various reports. For example, I know you can bet on the outcome of games. Are there other bets? I mean, someone told me you could bet on what the next pitch is going to be, or will the next guy get a hit? Is that all true or not?
Yeah, I think that's one of the big kind of confusion points around sports betting and in-play wagering, which is very popular in Nevada, where you can wager on during the game. In-play wagering in Nevada, what that really offers and what it'll be when it's in New Jersey is kind of taking a big game and turning it into a smaller event, not really pitch by pitch or hitter by hitter. The most popular in-play wager that we offer is, will there be a run in an inning? So it's basically consolidating a three-hour event to a 20-minute event. So there's no play-by-play, pitcher-by-pitcher, batter-by-batter, but there's quarter-by-quarter, inning-by-inning, and hockey period-by-period.
At some point, will you be able to sit in the stand and place that bet right on one of your handheld devices?
In Nevada, that was available this past season during the Golden Knights' run to the Stanley Cup. You would go to the game, and you would see customers betting on their legal mobile apps throughout the state of Nevada. Once it's legal in New Jersey, there's no reason why somebody wouldn't have the mobile app at the Devils game and wagering right there as they're watching it.
Well, that's an interesting point. I mean, Natalie was mentioning to me before, Michael, or I'm with Michael Grodzki, VP of Marketing at William Hill U.S. They'll be running the betting system that opens at Monmouth Park Sports Gambling tomorrow morning at 10:30. Let's say it is available online at some point. I think they have to wait 30 days or something like that. Does that mean you can bet from another state, or do you have to be in New Jersey physically, or how does that work?
You will have to physically be in New Jersey, right? So the geolocation technology is fantastic. It'll recognize that you're in the state. You've successfully created an account. We verified who you are, and then you'll be able to make that wager within state lines.
But you can't bet on college teams, right, Michael?
In the law, it says no college events or college teams that take place in New Jersey. So there would be no Seton Hall versus Rutgers or any NCAA games that take place in the state of New Jersey for championships or any other reason.
Now,
there'll be a lot of other things for folks to come in on wager on.
All right. Well, give us an example of what you'll have on the board tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so let's just take what you were just referencing, the World Cup, right? So just for the World Cup alone, you'll be able to bet on the team that'll win it all. You'll bet on which team will advance from each individual group. On each match that'll be available, you'll be able to bet on if it'll be a win, lose, or draw by which team will be available. Your favorite players playing in each game will offer a prop, yes or no, will they score a goal? We'll offer what continent will the World Cup winner come out of. We'll also offer, two-way betting once it gets to the knockout round, which is which team will advance to the next round, in addition to first half betting.
Can you also bet on which announcer has the longest? Because they have some pretty good goal calls. My money's on Andrus Cantor. Hey, thanks. Michael Grodzki, VP of Marketing, William Hill. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great week.
All right. It's interesting. So obviously, World Cup starts tomorrow. You can bet on it.
You can start betting already. Oh, well, boy.
When we return, staying alive in Brooklyn, John Travolta's triumphant return. Our iHeart Music Festival is also returning September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. Listen to these performances by Justin Timberlake and Carrie Underwood and Mariah Carey and Shawn Mendes and Kelly Clarkson, and they just added Fleetwood Mac and much, much more. The iHeart Radio Music Festival Capital One cardholder presale is on. Cardholders get access to tickets right now. General public on sale Friday at 1 o'clock. So go to iHeartRadio.com/Capital One. Get tickets now before they are all gone. Traffic time, Bernie Viner.
UOR.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, 8:50, and if, like me, you were a big fan of Saturday Night Live... Well,
no,
John,
Saturday Night Fever.
Right, Saturday Night Fever.
I know you're a big Saturday Night Live fan because you always talk about how great Alex Baldwin and Alec Baldwin and the rest of them do. So.
Right, okay.
I know you're a big fan of their humor.
We're losing it here at 8:55 in the morning. John,
oh, you know what? Just go to the music.
You should see Len in his white pantsuit on the dance floor. Get that hand in the air, Len. Woo! Yeah, Bee Gees, baby. Doesn't get better than this.
Love the Bee Gees. Staying Alive. Also, Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever. John Travolta, yesterday, he went to Brooklyn to Lenny's Pizza, 1969 86th Street. It was made famous in the 1977 blockbuster movie in which he played Tony Marano. He had a two
Tony
slices.
Tony Manero, boy. What's
Tony
with you
Manero.
This you need a nap.
Tony, see, I'm a big fan of the movie. I
love
even
the
know
movie.
The title
don't know the title or the name of the title character, but movie one was one favorites. Of the best. Yeah, I watched it on the whole movie.
Now,
thing.
I love that score by John Williams.
You were just saying the two slice, but you know how he ate the two slice?
Did he stuff them in his mouth?
On top of each one other, on one on top of each other.
Is that how you do it? Is that how he did in the movie?
That's how he did in the movie.
Of course,
that was
course.
The big thing of how he ate his slice.
Hey, yes.
I did.
Is that the Star Wars theme?
I decided I'd rather listen to music than you.
Thank you.
That's what I decided.
He was out at Lenny's to promote. Aha, this is why he was here. It was a publicity stunt. He's promoting his new movie, Gotti, about the Mafia Don. He plays John Gotti in the movie, but come on. Doesn't matter what he does, whatever Travolta is in, we will always remember him as Tony Manguero in Saturday Night Live.
And unfortunately for him, there was a hung jury, and he wasn't charged, nor was his wife Linda, so they're going to retry it. Well, Travolta, you're going to be shocked. He says he loves Brooklyn.
We love you. We love Brooklyn. I feel like Brooklyn has been in my DNA since Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah, remember that? He was Vinny. What? He played, and I'll get this one right, Vinny Barbarino.
Vinny Barbarino, right.
But he is from Jersey.
Yeah.
So
okay, same thing.
Born in Englewood.
Wow. Really?
Travolta's new movie, Gotti, opening in theaters Friday, portrays crime boss John Gotti. That's really...
Trailer's on our site, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael, so check it out.
He was terrific as Robert Shapiro in that OJ series that he helped produce.
Right.
So Travolta will probably pull off the Gotti thing. Now...
And he was good in Grease, too.
Yeah.
He played...
Vinny Barbarino.
No.
Up against Olivia Newton, Fig Newton, John. Right.
They were at Rydell High.
Oh, there you go. Michael Rydell. Did you see America's Got Talent last night?
I did not, but I heard that there was a phenomenal little kid on it.
Well, they had this 5-year-old girl, and her name is Sophie Fatou. And you know what? I love it when they sing from experience because, you know, she did it her way.
Oh my God, stop. It's a cat.
Whoa! She did it her way.
She's she's known as chairman of the romper room.
Is that adorable when a five-year-old screeches
at you? God, did she win? I hope not.
I did it, Mom! Anyway, she apparently...
Really busting on a five-year-old?
Well, that wasn't exactly a pleasant experience, Natalie. Well,
Simon Cowell was charmed. I guess she walked in and she wanted the golden buzzer. What the hell's the golden buzzer?
Well, it's, you know, when they give her the thumbs up. And, you know, it's in front of them. But anyway, so she was buttering up Simon a little bit.
Well,
saying it, she's her favorite judge.
She did get a yes from all four judges, and she will sing again in the next round. I just can't get enough of this. I don't know about you.
Bravo, bravo. All right, don't go away. What does God look like? George Burns, I always thought, but we'll tell you when we come back. Plus, we've got David Steinberg right after the 9 o'clock news.
Oh, more.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And a very good Wednesday morning to you. If you're just getting up, if you were able to sleep a little late, here are the big three stories you need to know about. Why are you laughing?
Because I'm thinking of this show. And so far, we've been talking about lesbians. We've been talking about a five-year-old singer that we basically trashed.
Yeah, that is. You know what? You guys are so terrible.
All right,
we're awful. Well, hold on a second. Human beings.
If you're just getting up in the morning, here's your alarm bell. Are you ready? Hit it, Len.
Well, let me find it. Okay?
Let me find the five-year-old girl. She was on America's Got Talent.
She was
last
on
night.
America's Got Talent. She was on last night, and apparently she did very well. Her name is Sophie Fatu.
Get out of the way, Frank.
I don't know. I just like it when they sing from personal experience because
she infuses the lyrics with such meaning.
She did it her way.
I took the blows. The Wicked shows. I took the blows.
She did it her way.
By the way, Michael,
what?
She is five, and at 5 years old, not all of your sounds, not all of
blows.
Your sounds are in
oh,
yet.
God, please. What do you want me to turn nurturing all of a sudden here?
You're a miserable human being.
You're the one who played it. You're the one who reintroduced it.
You're just as bad. Don't put it all on Michael.
Well,
both of you.
She's screeching my way, and everyone's going, oh, how adorable.
Really? It's like when you have to go sit through your kids' talent shows, and most of the kids have no talent whatsoever.
Exactly.
And you got to think, oh, she's so good, even though she sings off key and can't dance, but wow, she's Misty Copeland from the ballet. Jesus.
By the way, I saw her last night, Misty Copeland.
Yeah,
she's talented.
Woo, she's amazing.
She's got talent.
Absolutely.
She's got talent. But anyway, the full video of this adorable Sophie is on our website.
This is adorable.
Play it again. You think this is adorable? Plug your ears, folks.
Can you imagine if you're sitting at the dining room table and this is going on?
Yeah, just stop it. Just stop the music. You don't deserve to hear her.
Nobody deserves to hear her, Natalie. She sounds like a screeching cat.
I stopped the blow. I did it.
Adorable. She comes back and haunts you when she's a major star on Broadway.
I will kill
one
myself
day.
If that voice haunts me. Chairman of the romper room, not chairman of the board there.
You know, you're just a miserable human being, Michael.
You know what?
I'm telling you.
Michael, actually, if this gig doesn't work out for you.
Yeah. I'll be a kindergarten teacher?
You would be a great kindergarten teacher. God help
you. So sensitive to the young people.
Really? He loves kids.
Yeah. I'll conduct a talent show and I'll gong them all.
You would be a great judge on one of these shows.
Yeah.
I had my chance.
You did, right.
I turned down being a judge on a show I thought would never go anywhere on ABC. I thought, who cares about ballroom dancing? So I said no to being a judge on Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
Oh.
Look where I am today.
Wait a second. If you had said yes, you wouldn't be sitting here now?
No, I would not
you
be sitting
moron.
I would own a chain of ballroom dancing stores across the country.
Wow, good for you.
And I'd be judging little kids who can't dance. Tell them how great they are.
All right, do the big three.
All right, let's get to some serious news. Hello, Len. There was a summit.
Well, you're the one who brought... Oh, no, I did.
You did. There was a summit in Singapore. You may have heard of it yesterday, where Donald Trump brought North Korea, Kim Jong-un, to the table.
Right.
They are going to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula.
Right.
An amazing diplomatic breakthrough. And you and all your lefty commie friends, the New York Times and Chuck Schumer, not good enough. No guarantees. No, nothing there. He gave too much away.
I thought Schumer was very supportive.
No, President Trump seems to have given away two or three of the major things that Kim Jong-un wanted. A meeting, the flags next to each other.
Oh, he gave away
now
a meeting.
Now a delay of exercises with South Korea without getting anything in return.
Nothing.
These Democrats, they are hypocrites.
Nothing in return.
Len, they're hypocrites. They when Obama gave everything away to Iran, they all the Democrats are saying, this is great, this is terrific, he should get another Nobel Peace Prize. Trump does it. Trump is the only president who has been able to bring North Korea to the table, and already you on the left are denouncing him for it.
I didn't say a word.
You all just played Schumer, your spokesman.
All I said the same thing yesterday. Let's see what transpires. If there's complete denuclearization and if it's 100% verifiable, give him the Nobel Peace Prize. I'll hand deliver it to him.
Thank you,
Len. By the way, it's his birthday tomorrow.
It's yours, too.
Well, but I share. I couldn't be prouder. Two peas in the pod, Trump and me.
Yeah, right.
Both from Queens, and we were both born on Flag Day.
You do have better hair. I'll give you that, though.
Thank you.
All right. Also in the big three, story that Len just can't get enough of. This Uber driver who kicked out the kissing lesbians from the back of his cab, his license, his livery license, has been suspended. He kicked out Alex Iovine and Emma Pickle because, well, lesbians, you got to have a strap-on pickle. So there you
stop!
Are.
Stop! You're miserable. Your 10-year-old nephew is in the control room listening to this.
Plug his ears.
And you're talking about strap-on devices? What's wrong with you?
Plug his ears.
Something seriously wrong with you, Michael Riedel.
All right. This gets more interesting, though, because the Uber driver, we thought, well, maybe this was a religious issue because his culture may not approve of homosexuality.
Yeah, right.
So it kicked him out. But he's told the Daily News that they were really kind of rude and behaving in a vulgar way in the back of the car. They were vulgar before they got in.
Right.
And he just didn't feel that he should be giving these people who were misbehaving in the back of his car a lift. So, and rounding out the big three, Rudy Giuliani, at 74 years old, is committing adultery with a 53-year-old woman who runs a hospital up in New Hampshire.
I don't blame him. I say, what's wrong with her? What the hell's wrong with her? With a Giuliani? Boy, I'm telling you, if there's someone I want to bed down, it would be Rudy.
You don't think Rudy's looking pretty good these days?
Oh, he's looking great.
Out there defending the president?
It's like a maniac.
Going after Stormy Daniels. He's got an appeal for this woman. Her name is Maria Rosa Ryan. She runs a hospital in New Hampshire.
Well, I think she needs to check into that hospital if she's fooling around with Rudy.
Well, I thought maybe Rudy was in the hospital and was in an insane asylum. But he's up there. Right. Judy Nathan has filed for divorce. Now, Rudy claims, according to the New York Post, that he had already separated from Judy. So this little fling he was having with Nurse Ratchet up there was okay. But Judy Nathan says, no, no, no. She's going after Rudy. And he seduced her. He seduced the nurse by showing her The Godfather's Parts 1 and 2.
Well, I know if there's a movie that's
hot scene with a horse head.
Yeah, absolutely. That either got her all lathered up, or it was the one when Sonny got wasted at the toll booths. I think one of those two got her really in the mood, I'm telling you.
Interesting, because you said she was a nurse.
No, she runs a hospital.
Oh, because,
maybe I'm being sexist.
Because Judith Nathan was a nurse. If I remember correctly.
Oh.
He's got a thing for nurses.
Rudy likes that. Can we play nurse? Let's play nurse with
Keep him out of the old folks home.
Oh,
but I
great.
Remember because at the time of his divorce of Donna Hanover, he had prostate cancer, and he always attributed to Judy to really helping him out of his, time during.
Maybe
that.
This nurse is a better practitioner. That's all I can say. You know, he's moving up.
Right,
you know, he's getting older. He needs a better care. That's all.
We know what kind of stuff he looks for on the internet.
And you know what she said after betting Rudy?
What?
Len. Take the button, shut it off. There's a thing called too much of a good thing. And you've gone over the limit.
Oh, boy. Natalie, that is not a good thing, all right?
That is
not a good thing.
I'm taking it off the button bar, as I call it.
That was funny, right?
That was the 5-year-old girl who got the approval
at
America's Got Talent last night. Can you believe Simon Cowell? He's supposed to be the meanest judge out there. Do you believe he fell for the little kids routine?
Oh, it's all part. It's all show business. That's all it is show business.
That's all it is, exactly. Hey, did you see this, Len? What do you think God looks like? Here's what I think God looks like.
He looks like Donald Trump.
I think he looks like George Burns, because I remember when I was a kid.
I don't think God looks like God. I've never pictured God looking like.
Yeah,
I picture
a benign, funny guy cracking jokes with a cigar in his mouth.
I picture God with, long hair, you know, maybe a bit of a beard. I don't know.
Hair and a beard? What, he looks like Charles Manson?
I never contemplated that. Natalie, did you ever contemplate what God looks like? I never really did.
Well, you know, I grew up in a Greek Orthodox church, so I have the vision
of Anthony Quinn. He looks like Zorba the Greek.
It's the thing that I've always seen on the icons, which is also a beard. And
there is a beard, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So long hair?
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
This is interesting, this survey.
Yeah, well, I think he looks like, if he doesn't look like George Burns, I always thought he's a white guy because, well, I'm a white guy. And he's got long white beard and he's got a crown. And I always envisioned him with purple robes.
Really? Santa Claus in purple?
Yeah, Santa Claus in purple, something
with
like
a crown.
Yeah. But what is this survey of Christians?
Well, this is in North Carolina. At the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, they surveyed 511 American Christians, and the end result, what does God look like? The end result was a mugshot that showed that God is...
A mugshot?
Well, that's what they say in the article.
Okay.
This is in the Miami Herald. Mm-hmm. It says that God is white, young, and clean cut. And then they say, not unlike someone from an 80s boy band.
God looks like God looks like Justin Bieber? Are you kidding me?
God's from NSYNC. And, no, but they said...
Backstreet Boys?
He has a vague smile, like Mona Lisa's smile. But here's the interesting thing. Liberals... Liberals imagine God as more feminine, younger, and more loving.
So he looks like Justin Trudeau for liberals.
Yeah. And they also said they thought that he sounded like this.
President Trump seems to have given away two.
That's what the liberals said.
No, you know what he sounds like, Len. Play the little girl.
He's not.
No, it's gone. No,
it's
gone. Natalie erased it.
She nixed that.
Conservatives have him as a white guy who was more powerful.
So he does look like Trump for conservatives.
Yeah, I think for conservatives, it's Trump.
So lefties, he looks like Justin Trudeau. And
more feminine, younger, and more loving.
That's Justin Trudeau.
Do you ever think that a conservative or a liberal would have a different view of God? I wouldn't even have thought of that.
Truthfully, that's what's blown me away about doing this radio show. How right, left is just on everything. I'm telling you, I don't think they agree that the sun sets in the west. It does? Well, who came up with that? Obama's fault.
Caucasians tended to see God as white. No surprise there. African Americans see him as black. And younger people saw him as Justin Bieber. So there you go.
That's an interesting survey, though. I never really thought about. But I go with the Greek version. I think beard. Definitely beard.
Yeah. Zorba the Greek for
that
now.
That was my version.
That's right.
So.
Anthony Quinn is Natalie's God. All right. Don't go away. Joe Biden is getting caught up in the hashtag MeToo movement.
Really? Biden? Yes. Uncle Joe?
We've got the story. Plus, Tiger Woods is, I think he's going to be hanging out on the yacht. All that is coming up. And don't miss Mark Simone at 10 o'clock.
And don't miss David Steinberg, the great comedic legend, at 9:40. After 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan, work there, go to school there, or did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? Were you in Lower Manhattan, below Canal Street, between September 11th, 2001, and the summer of 2002? And have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to those two questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky. He's the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Look him up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Noah has resolved over 400 of them. $400 million cases. If you're a student, or live near Ground Zero, or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11, and now you have cancer, call them. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com, or call 888-974-3125.
And now let's go to Bernie Viter with traffic.
And Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
It is 9:24. Coming up around 9:40, the great comedic legend David Steinberg will join us right here. Looking forward to that.
Absolutely. He's got this wonderful series on HBO called Inside Comedy, where he interviews all the great comedians.
It might be on Showtime, but we'll have to ask.
Might be on Showtime.
I'm not sure.
Could be.
Wherever it is, it's great.
Not on ABC.
And we were talking in the last segment about what does God look like.
Yeah. I
got an email from Jamie saying, as a child, I always imagined God to look like Mr. French, the British butler from the show Family Affair.
Right. That's a good one. Mr. French, of course. I haven't thought about that in years. That's good. That's
By the way, your family's here in the studio. Your parents are from Florida.
Yeah,
your
my parents
sister
are here.
From Massachusetts. Your nephew, Ben.
Ben's sitting right here in the studio with us.
Your family, surprisingly normal. Your parents are really nice. Your mom told me a great story. You were once at a restaurant with Nathan Lane.
Yes.
And Nathan Lane said to her, "He has a mother?"
Yes, he did. It was when I was beating up on poor old Nathan for some Broadway show. Oh, but we have since made up. Hey, did you see this thing?
You're picking on Uncle Joe Biden now? You got to pick on all the Democrats?
I'm not picking on Uncle Joe Biden.
He's such a good guy. Come on.
I like Joe Biden. I told you I like him.
I do. I like Joe.
I like Joe. He's the only Democrat who can connect to the white working class people who voted for Donald Trump in the last election. Joe Biden is the only Democrat who those people, I think, could possibly vote for.
No, he's a good guy. I had my picture taken with my wife and Joe, and I display it proudly.
I saw him on a train going down to Philadelphia not too long ago. He looked pretty fit, trim. He was studying his briefing papers. Mark my words, he's going to run for president. But he was confronted by a heckler at an event the other day, and somebody stood up and started accusing him of molesting women, which was a little odd because I never heard that about Biden.
You heard he's a very
huggy
handsy,
and touchy,
yeah, right, handsy, touchy-feely.
Yeah,
he's not a sleaze bucket.
But listen, where was he? What was going on here? This was
where was he?
It says here he was in his hometown over the weekend.
Yeah,
it was some kind of an event, right?
They said some heckler came up to him.
Okay, well here's what went down.
Well, what about the girls that you molested on C-SPAN at the Senate swearing-in? No. He did it. No. Let him answer. He did it. No, answer. Answer a question. It's right.
Well, that's the heckler being removed. He was at an event to launch the Biden Institute in Delaware.
Right, yeah. Which is a research and policy center focusing on domestic issues. Now, if you hear that audio, it almost sounds like they're on the guy's side that was coming in to heckle, but they were not.
No. They were all pro-Biden.
They were all for...
Well, the crowd wanted the heckler to leave, and Biden said, no, this is not Trump world. Well,
yes.
Quick ad lib.
Yeah. But I don't know. Natalie, you never heard anything about Biden. Yes, I know he could be huggy, feely, and he likes to throw his arms around people.
You've heard about the inappropriate touching of female, especially in those pictures, those stage pictures with family members. I've never heard anything more than that, than like, creepy joke, you know, like the creepy uncle.
Yeah. But he's not like creepy old Al Franken.
I've never heard that. But everybody says he's just a little too much.
Mm. All right. You know what begins tomorrow?
U.S. Open in Shinnecock Hills.
Shinnecock, and Tiger Woods will be there. You know, he's not going to stay in a house or a hotel. He's staying on his 155-foot yacht, which is called Privacy, and he has it docked near Gurney's Inn, which is in Montauk.
Gurney's Inn is a very nice place.
Yeah, he has a little ride. Yeah, I stayed there last year.
Are there any strip clubs there he can hang out at? Pastime for a while?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess he did have some issues. Yeah, he wasn't the squeaky clean idol that many thought he was, but he hasn't won a golf tournament in 5 years. He hasn't won a major golf tournament in 10 years. I've said for years I don't think he'd ever win again. But he did meet the media yesterday.
I've missed playing the U.S. Open. It's our nation's title. It's meant so much to me and my career.
Well, he was asked about the traffic, you know, because there was an amateur player yesterday missed his practice tee time. I mean, I did see a note in a Newsday today. They've improved the traffic out there in the Hamptons, but things were a mess on Monday. So I think things were a little bit better yesterday. But Tiger had these comments about the traffic.
A few guys so far this week have said it's taken them from the hotel 2.5 to 3 hours. And, there's a good chance that someone might miss their time. You know, you get a little traffic, you get maybe a little fender bender. I mean, it's not unconceivable someone could miss their time.
Who is he, Bernie Viter with traffic these days?
I mean,
got nothing better to do? Sitting on his yacht than giving us the traffic reports from East Hampton? Yeah.
Your job is to get there on time. Everybody has to get to their job on time. You leave early. Yeah. How hard is that?
Well, it's obviously, if a hotel is right down the road and it takes 2.5 or 3 hours to get to it, that's a problem. That's true, too.
Can't they walk?
You can have a caddy carry your clubs as you walk down the highway.
How about a golf cart? Just take the golf cart down.
Yeah.
I had no expectation of getting this far. You know, a lot of this is pure bonus because of, you know, where I was. You know, be able to have this opportunity to play USG events, to play against these guys, best players in the world. It's a great feeling and one that I don't take for granted.
We'll see how he does. I don't think he'll win. We're going to be joined tomorrow by Peter Jacobson. He's a fine NBC announcer, and we'll get the inside scoop on Shinnecock. This is the third time they're having it there. Retief Goosen won it last time in the 2000s. And remember, Corey Pavin had an incredible five-wood that won him the tournament the first time it was at Shinnecock Hills. So,
it's a beautiful club, I bet.
It is. It's gorgeous. All right.
Nice 19th hole.
Golf tomorrow. Hey, it's 9:30. It's time for the news headlines with Joe Bartlett on vacation. Good morning to you once again, Mike Bauer.
Mike, I don't want to rattle you, but I got an email from a listener who said, where's Joe Bartlett? He's a real asset to the program.
Oh, well.
What did they say about Bauer? He's
nothing,
a real...
Nothing.
Yeah, there was a
real half an asset.
A portion of that word. Yeah, that's all there was to it. Mother is dead, guys, and a six-year-old son has been critically injured after a car slammed into them at a Brooklyn bus stop. They were standing at Remsen and Seaview Avenues in Canarsie when two cars collided just before 9 o'clock. One of them was sent over the curb and into the mother and her child.
The pedestrian that got struck lives across the street in this house, which I know, and the baby. And they're very friendly. They're very nice people. They've been living there for years. And it's just a shame what happened. We're just heartbroken.
Witnesses say that the cars may have been speeding. The NYPD is searching for a man who attacked a woman on the Upper West Side, setting her on fire. Neighbors at the Douglas houses are shocked.
That someone would have that kind of wherewithal and thought to do that to another human being, I think that's just crazy.
That's, like, horrible. Like, that's... Like, how can you do that to a woman? That's insane. That goes beyond sane.
Woman's critically injured after 26-year-old Larry McGloster allegedly hit her with a hammer and then set her on fire.
N-W-O-R.
Good morning, everybody. At 9:41, very excited, Len and I, about our next guest.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
Comic legend.
Really? He told me he had dinner with David Steinberg, and I said, you what?
I did.
I said, did you invite him on the show? Oh, that's a good idea. Really?
What am I, the booker around here?
This guy's a legend. I loved him. My wife had a crush on him. I mean, this guy's great.
Well, we were saying he was a, you know, there's a lot of kind of vulgar comedians out there, but David is a cerebral comedian.
Yeah.
He is also the executive producer of Cash Cab on the Discovery Channel that'll be airing around Shark Week time. And he produced a series that I know you love on Showtime, Inside
love
Comedy.
Love, great series.
Where he interviewed Mel Brooks and Don Rickles.
And he directed Curb Your Enthusiasm. And
he is joining us now on the line. Good morning, David.
Hi, guys.
Hi, David.
It's great to have you with us.
Hi, Michael, Len, how you doing?
Doing great. Thrilled to have you on. But
hey, David, Len is a big fan of Inside Comedy. You interviewed all the greats. What is going on with that show now?
Well, actually, it's a show that has been on the air and reverts back to us. So right now, we own our own show as opposed to sharing it with Showtime. And so we'll start pitching it around and see who wants to renew it. And then we'll add, you know, new people. And I'll interview, I hate to say this word, but young comedians.
Yeah, I know.
Who's on the top of your list of the new ones that you really
admire? Yeah, yeah. Who would you want to get a young one? What's her name? The one who, Michelle Wolf?
Michelle Wolf, no. Here's what I don't like, guys. I'm not going to make a very serious point about it, but what I can't stand as, let's say, an older comedian is I can't stand the comedy boom. I can't stand that I walk down the street and a guy will grab me and he said, you know, my son's having his bar mitzvah. Could you help him do a stand-up piece? I said, there's a Torah there. There's a, you know, he could. So I am not crazy about the comedy boom. To me, it damages comedy in some way.
What do you mean? Define comedy boom.
Outside. Well, you need to be an outsider to be a good comedian. Mm. In some way, that's the best of everyone. And in my little group coming up, you know, George Carlin and Richard Pryor, myself, and Robert Klein. I mean, we were outsiders. It wasn't, you know, if you brought home a comedian in those days, the parents would go crazy. Why did you bring home a comedian? Bring home a doctor. Bring home a lawyer.
Sure.
Bring home a comedian. And so now doctors and lawyers are standing in line behind the comedians.
You know, earlier, and I mentioned you were coming up, I said booga booga, and Michael looked at me like I was crazy. I seem to remember that being a catchphrase of yours. I don't remember exactly what it meant, but am I nuts, or is that your thing?
No, it was my thing that I stole from Groucho Marx from, I believe it was Night at the Opera.
Hmm.
So where he's just he's teasing someone on stage, and he puts his hands in his ears and goes booga booga in the middle of the Broadway play. So I was playing a psychiatrist, and I thought it'd be a great thing. Our psychiatrist who's totally out of control and drives the patient crazy, and so booga booga became a catchphrase of mine. Thanks to Groucho. And I think one of my albums was even called Booga Booga. And people used to stop me on the street, put their hands in their ears, and say Booga Booga, which was actually delightful.
Well, that's great for a psychiatrist to be saying that while listening to a patient. Sure. Put your fingers in your ears. I don't want to hear this.
Hey, it's about as valuable as what he's going to get from a real psychiatrist.
That's true. Hey, David, what do you make of the new comedians today who seem to get a laugh just by dropping foul words? I mean, I'm thinking of Samantha Bee when she used that the C word and gets a big laugh. We can't use these words on air, of course, but you guys had to deal with censors back in the day.
We did deal in censorship, and ironically, I was very political especially about Nixon. You know, when you're a comedian, you're looking for a target. Well, you know, God couldn't have supplied comedians with a better target than Nixon. He was sort of clumsy and out there and saying the wrong things. And so I started to just go at him. I would have a half of my, let's say, hour would be about Nixon. And I would say half of the audience would like it and half the audience wouldn't. So it became a very controversial thing. And then eventually, as I started to go to the college campuses, every time I would talk about Nixon, someone would heckle me and from the audience and say, "Don't leave the president alone," you know, just which is very, very rare. You would think that people are always heckled, especially when I was starting out. If someone was drunk, you would have to deal with that. But whenever I would get into the Nixon material, and my friend Ziggy and my co-writer with me, who would travel with me, he kept on saying, "David, it's the same guy." We were all over the country. We were even in the colleges. That every time I went to Nixon, he went up, someone started to shout, and it was, you know, sort of dismantling the technique of stand-up as I was doing it. And only later on, when they had the Watergate hearings, did I see these two guys sitting behind the lawyers with Nixon. And they were the ones who I would see them at almost at every show.
Wow, amazing.
Great story.
All right, David Steinberg, executive producing Cash Cab on Discovery Channel with Shark Week, right? You're going to premiere it then?
Yes, yeah, we're premiering it for Shark Week. I don't know why people are so happy about sharks, but we are, because hopefully we'll get a good rating.
You got a good lead-in. And also you're writing a book on your life and comedy with Knopf, publishing it.
Yes, and I've been working on it for a while, and I'm just about finished with it now.
All right. The great David Steinberg. Thanks a lot for being our guest here.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Len.
Okay.
Great to talk to you.
One more thing. Booga booga.
Booga booga. That's right. Hey, stick around, because we're going to tell you about millennial men. They're getting dumber. How much dumber can they get, I wonder? I don't know.
Right.
And it may not be a good idea to bring your sex doll on the plane with you the next time. Hey, the iHeartRadio Music Festival is back September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. Listen to the lineup of performers. Justin Timberlake, Carrie Underwood, Mariah Carey, Shawn Mendes, Kelly Clarkson, and they've just added Fleetwood Mac. The iHeartRadio Music Festival Capital One Cardholder Presale is on now. Card holders get access to tickets right this very minute. General public goes on sale at Friday at 1 o'clock. Go to iHeartRadio.com/Capital One and get tickets now before they're gone. And now let's go to Bernie Vider with traffic.
No, it's really great. Oh, we're about 5.5 minutes from Mark Simone coming up at 10 o'clock. David Steinberg's a legend.
He's great.
I hope the younger listeners know he just genius comedian, cerebral, great director, great TV series. He's got a remarkable career.
Directed Curb Your Enthusiasm, the Larry David show. So
anyway, our listeners email us directly at our website, 710WOR.com/Len. I always like to get these positive emails. Len, I cannot count how many times I left your station this morning. Have the two of you gone nuts? If you think you're funny, you're not. You're nuts. Stop all the screaming. Stop replaying stupid noises. You're behaving like 2 years old.
What noise is he talking about?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
You guys.
Oh, boy.
Right, let's drive all the listeners away this morning, Len.
Well, I have a couple of points to make. First of all, that's 5-year-old Sophie Fatu on America's Got Talent.
Who's adorable.
Adorable. She did it her way, and I think she, at the age of 5, she's had a world of experience. Number two, this listener says, I can't tell how many times I've left. Well, he keeps coming back.
I know.
So what's wrong with him? If he really hated it that much.
Someone say that. Why would you keep playing it?
Well, I'll tell you. Okay, I have the answer to your question. Why would I play it again? Because Michael's 10-year-old nephew, Ben, is in the studio. And Ben said during a commercial, hey, play that song again.
It's Ben's fault, Natalie. Yeah,
it's Ben. I'm going with Ben.
You're always scolding us. Scold Ben.
I'm just going to say, Ben is 10. 10-year-old humor for a 10-year-old.
We're 2 years old.
You guys are not anything close to 10 and have 10-year-old humor.
He says we're behaving like 2-year-olds.
What's wrong with that?
All right. Can I be giving you a serious note here?
Yes, please.
The Department of Homeland Security is warning it's just a matter of time before hackers hit commercial airliners. Now, that's a scary thought.
That is scary.
If they can hack into the computers on airlines, really? They had to tell us this?
I was going to say, why do you have to tell me this?
Okay, never mind.
No, but you always worry about that. You know, they've really done good job with the airport security and keeping the bombs off the planes. But if you've got some terrorist computer hackers who can take over the steering wheels, the co-pilot stuff, you're in trouble.
Well, you have a much more interesting airplane story.
Yes. This is terrifying. A plane en route from Ibiza, that's how you pronounce it, Len, Ibiza, to Belfast.
I call it Ibiza. You call it what?
Oh, then Ibiza with pepperoni on it. It's Ibiza. A plane en route from Ibiza to Belfast was forced to divert when a passenger caused a fight on board the plane by playing with his blow-up sex doll in front of horrified children, according to reports. The fellow passenger was flying with her partner and a 4-month-old baby and said this guy and his friends were quite rowdy when they boarded the aircraft. They were completely bombed, I'm sure.
Well, were they going to a bachelor party? Where were they?
They were coming from Ibiza to Belfast. And the guy has a blow-up doll on the plane that he starts playing with in front of the kids.
Oh, Natalie. Natalie.
I have a very interesting question here.
Yes.
So
we'll be the judge of how interesting that is.
No. It's definitely. obviously, this doll was not in the blown-up state coming in. So they had to sit there and blow up this doll because they wouldn't have let him in the first place.
That's true. Unless they bought a ticket.
So they had to sit there.
Maybe they bought a ticket for her.
So they had to sit there and pump up this doll.
Did the doll need a passport, do you think?
Have an extra seat?
Have your seat back in the right position.
Really, what was going on as these people were trying to blow up this doll?
I don't know. Maybe they thought it was a birthday party. They were probably stunned. There's no end to what people do on airplanes these days. They're all insane.
Like us. Hey, so what's this millennial story? Which was like a duh.
Yeah.
What was the headline? Millennials are getting dumber?
Millennial men are getting dumber by the year. Researchers examining the intelligence levels of more than 730,000 young Norwegian men. I don't know why they picked Norway, but I guess Norway is all the dumb people are. They found that IQ scores have dropped roughly 8 points between 1970 and 2009. And you know, this morning in this studio, they plunged another 23 points, I think.
Well, that's what happens. So they're getting dumber. Well, how about this? Natalie loves these stories. Do you know what's growing on your kitchen towel? Well, everyone knows kitchen towels are not, you know,
they're dirty.
They're not the epitome of cleanliness.
Dirty.
Well, let's see. Well, who did this survey? Where's Mauritius?
Mauritius, it's an island in the Indian Ocean, I think.
Okay, well, they studied...
It's over there, Len, as you would say. Over there.
It's over there. They studied kitchen towels. 49% had E. coli. 14% had staph. Anyway.
This is why I use Bounty, the quicker, quicker upper.
Bounty, the best paper towel.
Extra value is what you get.
If you miss anything today, check out 710WR.com/Linda Michael. Mark Simone is next after the 10 o'clock news. The U.S. is getting a 2026 World Cup. Here's the official comment. One more.